Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Chris Jones, who's Executive Vice President Industry at Descartes. And today we're going to talk about labor shortages. What are the challenges for supply chain and logistics? So labor shortages were among the top supply chain challenges that companies faced during the COVID pandemic. And in fact, back in January of 2022, we had Chris on the program to discuss the problem in an episode that we had titled The Labor Shortage Problem, Why It's Bigger Than You Think. So here we are now, 2 years later, and COVID, for the most part, is in the rearview mirror. And, economic conditions are arguably softer today than they were a couple of years ago. So the question is, has the labor shortage problem improved or gotten worse? Well, that is the main question addressed in a new research report published recently by Descartes titled, How Bad is a Supply Chain and Logistics Workforce Challenge? And the findings are based on a survey conducted with 1,000 supply chain logistics leaders, both in Europe and in North America. So it's great to have Chris back on the program here to share some insights and advice from the research. So Chris, welcome back.
Well, Adrian, thanks for having me again.
Well, let's just get right started. Let's start with the question raised right by with the report's title. How bad or how big of an issue is supply chain logistics work? Is the supply chain logistics workforce challenge today?
Again, bigger than anybody thinks, I guess I would say. We've been hearing this in the market, talking with companies and so forth that still finding issues out there, and so there are ways to address it, obviously, and. But we wanted to first get a handle on, what's the magnitude. And, if you look at the study, you're looking at over 70% of the respondents said that they were having issues filling jobs, and 37 of them said it's pretty severe. So, it's out there. And, to your point about the study we did 2 years ago, some of this is structural and unlikely to change. I would say it really confirmed kind of our initial assumption.
Yeah, no, I remember. I know the last time when we kind of focused on this, we studied a lot about we talked a lot about just the demographics and the fact that not only the United States but just about every country out there is below the replacement rate with regards to companies countries having enough children to really. And that's been going on for decades, right? So it's not something that's reversing, So that was certainly one of the things that when we talk about structural is certainly one of those factors that continues to contribute here. And I know the study kind of talks into this, and we'll include a link to the study, when we publish this. So, our audience can read the full report. But are certain types of positions more difficult to fill than others? I mean, obviously we hear so much about the driver side of things, but what about other types of workers?
Yeah, we also looked at, besides, let's call it classic labor, so drivers, warehouse workers, that kind of stuff. We also looked at knowledge workers as an example, and even management. And knowledge workers was the hardest position to fill. And, if you think about, the explosion of data as an example, and supply chains being so data rich, and many companies now recognizing the value of understanding that data, this has really created a tremendous demand that most companies are not able to fill.
Now, do you think that's a function of maybe certainly if you look at more quote unquote experienced folks, I mean they never had that training to begin with, let's say, right? So they can't because all of this has been historically relatively new, let's say within the past 5-8 years or so. But does that also imply that maybe the universities aren't preparing kind of the up and coming workers, to fill these roles either?
Yeah, I think it's a combo. Definitely. When you look at, I'll call it courses and so forth in universities, traditionally, especially in supply chain, they tend to lag demand. In this case, there is really a convergence, though. And a lot of schools, by the way, now are focusing on data science and analytics, which is good news. But equally, just given the explosion of the kinds of tools that are out there now, it's making it easier, but it's also educating a lot more people that on the value. So, you've got kind of a demand curve that's that is definitely ahead of the supply curve here. You know, and I would say it's going to be this way for a while here. And then the other key part of this, and this is where, you know, to your point about coming out of universities, which is, you know, supply chain is still largely learned on the job, and universities can provide a good head start. But, you know, the convergence, the real ultimate value are knowledgeable supply chain professionals that understand analytics and so forth. That's like the magic thing, and there are not enough of them. That's for sure.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, we actually, and I just remember this right now, we actually did a survey with our Indago members. So these are all supply chain logistics executives from manufacturing, retail, and distribution companies. We did a survey with them last year where we asked them, if you were to go back to school, you know, what kind of courses will you take to help improve kind of your career path or promotions and so forth? And exactly what we're just talking about right now came up near the top. If not the top, I should have looked before we had a conversation here, but now I remember that it certainly ranked pretty high, which was, you know, data analysis, analytics, you know, was something that I think a lot of supply chain professionals are looking to, you know, improve their skills on, because they view that as being, you know, something important for their, you know, continue to grow in their careers. Now, I know in a lot of these studies, you know, so we've talked about a lot of different studies over the past few years that we've had you on the program. And I know that you like to look at kind of other factors to see if there's a correlation. And one of the things you always look at, for example, is financial performance of companies, and to see, you know, if there's differences between high performing companies versus, you know, financially performing companies versus those that are lower on the scale. So did the research find any link between, you know, companies' financial performance and how much, you know, employee turnover they experience in the supply chain logistics operations?
Yeah, there's a, like, we look at a couple things here. There's, I'll call it four magic things in this kind of space. We're looking at financial performance, company growth, management's view of the importance of supply chain and logistics, and then to your point, employee turnover. And there is an absolute connection between all of those. You know, the stronger companies in terms of growth and financial performance are doing a much better job at employee turnover. And what I mean by that is it's lower. Also, and in some respects, if you think about supply chains and supply chain performance, right, which now is so embedded in companies in terms of impacting overall financial performance, you know, as we just mentioned, supply chains are really deep domain areas and comes with time. So stability of your organization is important. And then the other part of it that falls right smack in the middle of this one is, you know, does management see the supply chain as a potential for competitive advantage, and or does it see it as a necessary evil? Those all work together, either good or bad. All right. So without a doubt, the better performers, both in growth and financial performance, management is much more on top of it in terms of viewing the value of their supply chain and equally the people.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think if you step back and think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, I think if you're in a company that views, you know, supply chain logistics as strategic, you feel more valued as part of that organization. And we all know that there's a strong link between supply chain and logistics and financial performance, right? So if you feel more valued, if you actually see a more direct link in terms of what you're doing to the financial health of the company, and management is valuing you, you know, it's kind of like a self-reinforcing, you know, effect there, where you're less likely to leave. Because, you know, exactly. More than likely, if you end up somewhere else, you're not going to be viewed as strategic. You know, the company, you know, if they're not viewing supply chain logistics as strategic, more than likely, you know, the financial performance is not going to be that good. And more than likely, you know, that's going to lead companies to, you know, employees to start looking, you know, elsewhere. So I think it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, retention. It's a big part of retention, I would say. You know, people, especially younger people these days, really focus on the value of their job to the organization, which is great news, right? So if they just see it as like everybody's beating on me and we're just doing the basics, you know, I'll just say there's plenty of other jobs out there for them to go get at other supply chain jobs, get at other companies, and they will do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, so then, you know, there's a lot of, you know, great content, you know, in this report, a lot of data. And again, we'll make the link available to folks. But Anything else stand out for you? Any kind of interesting findings that the kind of piqued your interest as part of the report?
Yeah, so one of them is there's going to be wage pressure, all right, without a doubt. That was a pretty common theme across the board. Over the next couple of years, we asked people to look at over a five-year horizon, like today, next year, 2 years, et cetera, kind of thing. And so that's really there. I think the other thing that's become pretty clear is, and this is like to me the aha for senior leaders in companies and why it's so important to focus on, I'll call it retention and so forth, is because, you know, if we look at, but I'll just give you an example. You know, if you think about like the home buying industry, right, realty, you know, they talk about buyers and sellers, and then there's buyers markets and there's sellers markets, right? Well, for the longest time, supply chain world and just labor markets were treating the pool of potential participants as one infinite, right, to some degree. And then the other piece of it was that it was really, if you will, the sellers who dominated. So the manufacturers, the retailers, it was their market, right? So you would see in the past a lot of, I'll call hiring and firing, and then, you know, bringing in people for lots of people in some cases for peak seasons and so forth. Well, those days are over. It is a buyer's market now. It is the potential employee. There are still more jobs out there. Even though despite the layoffs people are seeing, there's still plenty more jobs out there for people in the supply chain space. And by the way, the other key point to consider here is, especially with labor, which is they are now crossing industries, right? So they may have in the past only, if you're in a warehouse, you would look for another warehouse to go to. But you know what? But now with the service industries having come back, you know, people can get decent paying jobs at restaurants or other kinds of venues and so forth, because again, there's way more of those jobs too here. So I do think that we need to understand that that this the paradigm has shifted, and the power is much more in the buyer, which means you really need to be, if you will, the seller of choice here to keep them or to get their attention.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think, you know, the retention piece is also critically important, because we talk a lot about finding people and hiring them. But equally as important is just retaining the good talent that you have, because otherwise you're kind of, you know, if not only are you having difficulty finding new people, but if you're also losing the valuable people that you have, you know, that's not good either, right? So you want to be a net positive, but you want to not only retain the good people that you have, but also, you know, attract new ones to help fuel your growth and all of that. And that, like you said, you know, a lot of the pendulum has swung now onto the employee side, you know, where they've got more, more say and more choices, what to do here. So it's definitely a different market today than it was, not too long ago. So Chris, I mean, we could probably spend, you know, an hour talking about all the different aspects of the report, but maybe as a way to wrap up, I mean, in light of everything that we've talked about today and maybe what else we didn't talk about as part of the report, I mean, what actions should companies, you know, take to make sure that, you know, they address this labor, you know, shortage problem effectively moving forward?
Well, I'm going to talk about a couple of things. What I will tell people is we do have another version of this study coming out that's going to talk about what companies are doing. So I'll give some indication, and that'll be out here probably in the next couple of weeks, max. But I will give some indications of what has to happen. Some that people may find a little crazy. So we just talked about the fact that you have to be the employer of choice, right? So interesting enough, one of the top things, especially younger people were looking for, were to work in, and this gets back to our whole point about does management care, right? To be able to work in organizations that employed leading technology. Believe it or not, that's a big deal. I think part of the message needs to be that, yes, salaries are up and they're going to be up higher, But that is not all of it, right? They're looking for a working environment, again, the sense of purpose, and they aren't looking to be working on someone's, 20-year-old green or blue screen system. That's not going to attract them. They're really looking for those opportunities to grow.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I think nothing will scare. I know my kids who are, I've got one that's already in the workforce and one that will be in the workforce, after this summer. And I think nothing will scare them more than entering a, work environment where they're, have to, face a green screen or, Excel spreadsheets or, a lot of paperwork. And, meanwhile, they're so used to, this high tech environment where it's mobile, where they've got very user friendly UIs and so on and so forth. So I think that's a great point. And I like the employer of choice. I mean, we've talked so much. I think that's a good analogy too, because we've historically talked about shipper of choice, right? When demand outstripped carrier capacity, we always talked about, hey, shippers have to be the shipper of choice because they have to attract those carriers. And when the carriers have a choice of which shippers are going to support, they want to make sure that they attract, that they win that capacity versus another shipper. So it's the same thing here. You want to be the employer of choice because, if it's between you or three other employers, because they've got choices now, you want to make sure that they select you as their employer. So I think that's a good, good analogy there. So Chris, again, we always scratch the surface on these topics, but I think you provided a lot of great food for thought. Again, we'll provide the link to the report so people can read the full, everything that we talked about today, plus a lot of data that's in the report as well. And so again, thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Adrian.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Descartes website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or comment for Chris, you can post it there. Anyway, we look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. So have a great day.